Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In baptism first, we confess what baptism is. The water included in God's command and connected with God's word. In baptism second, we confess what baptism does. It works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. In baptism third, we confessed both what baptism is and what it does. It is a water of life, rich in grace, and a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and faith as the things that make baptism effective. Finally, this evening, we turn to baptism fourth, the last part of baptism in our small catechism, where we confess what baptism signifies. In other words, it not only does something, it also implies something, points to something, pictures something, signifies something. What does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man in turn should daily emerge and arise to live forever before God in righteousness and purity. Where is this written? St. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 6, "We were buried with Christ through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too should walk in a new life." So again, what did baptism do? It really united us with Christ. It clothed us with Christ. And therefore it washed away sin as a bath washes away dirt and grime. It regenerated, gave new birth. It worked forgiveness of sins, delivered from death and the devil, and gave eternal salvation to all who believe this. Baptists and other evangelicals, for the most part, deny that baptism does all that. They deny that baptism does anything. To them, baptism is man's work done for God, only a symbol, only a sign of a regeneration and salvation that supposedly takes part entirely apart from baptism. So we emphasize the first three parts of baptism in the catechism and mustn't yield an inch on what baptism truly and actually does. But there is also something symbolic, something figurative about baptism, something that it pictures, namely death, burial, and resurrection. We don't usually bury a person under the water for our baptisms anymore, also known as baptism by immersion. But there was a time when that was a common practice in the church, though never the exclusive practice in the church. Anyone who tells you that the Bible requires a person to be baptized by immersion is either ignorant or is lying. But since the evangelicals have come along over these past centuries with their insistence that baptism must be by immersion for it to be a valid baptism, since they insist that baptism is only a symbol, we usually refuse to baptize by immersion as a confession against their error, and to keep people from being deceived by their error into thinking that if they were baptized by immersion, they got a little bit better baptism than the rest. Still, the picture of being buried under the water and rising up out of the water again is both a scriptural image and a meaningful image. Because regardless of the manner in which you were baptized, you and I were actually buried with Christ, not under the water, but in the grave, in the real grave in which he lay, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6. But what does that picture of death and then of resurrection signify? What does it point to? What is it supposed to remind us of on a daily basis? First, it should remind us that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires. The old Adam is the same thing as the old man, which is the same thing as original sin, which is the same thing as the sinful nature with which we're all born, which we inherited from fallen Adam and Eve, which is always hostile toward God, never truly loves or believes in him, and is always full of evil desires. It's providential that we heard this evening the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in our lesson, because it really helps us to understand what we're talking about here. You and I and every other human being naturally born carries around with him or her an old Adam that is no less wicked than the men of Sodom were. People often hear of an egregious sin someone committed, and they wonder, how can people be so evil? Well, the symbol of baptism cries out to you, you have that same evil growing inside of you. You may control it better, or at least hide it better, but we all carry the same strain of the same disease. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we also heard this evening, or part of which we heard, Jesus lays bare the thoughts, attitudes, words, and actions within us that must be drowned and die. In the Sermon on the Mount, he addresses murder and adultery and theft, but also pride and malice and deceit and lovelessness and selfishness and all of those other sins that take place within the heart, sins which cannot be cut off even if you cut off your right hand or gouge out your right eye, because they're on the inside. They're part of the old Adam, and you can't cut him out. You can't cut him away. You can only drown him and kill him every day. For those sins, there must be contrition and repentance. And we're talking about the baptized here, not the unbaptized. They have nothing in God's house, no part in God's family until God's Holy Spirit brings them to contrition and forgives them their sins through baptism and brings them into his family. But Luther's words in the Small Catechism are talking to us, the baptized and the believing. We're talking about the daily putting to death of the old man in the believer, daily allowing the law to crush you. That's really what the word contrite means, and make you sorrowful over your sin. Daily repenting, turning away from sin in your heart, saying no to it, recognizing it for the repulsive evil that it is, instead of something that you want to keep nurturing or obeying. But since we're talking about the baptized, the believers in Christ, that daily exercise of contrition and repentance does not end in despair. It ends in fleeing in faith to Christ for refuge, for forgiveness, and firmly trusting in his merits and in his promise of full and free forgiveness made to all the baptized, not only at the moment of your baptism, but to cover you through your whole life. Then on the other side of repentance are the fruits of repentance, the rising to life of the new man, the one who was born of water and the Spirit, while the old Adam was drowned. Baptism also pictures that as the baptized comes up out of the water under which he was buried, a picture of the rising from the grave, of rising from the dead. To do what? Sit around? Do nothing? No, but to live one's life, to live it as a new person with godly motives, godly attitudes, and godly purposes, with a new man who is now ready to struggle and fight every day against the old man. Baptism signifies that a new man, in turn, should daily emerge and arise to live forever before God in righteousness and purity. So each day, remember your baptism, what it did for you, and what it pictures for you for today, how it urges you each day to repeat that process of drowning the old Adam and getting up again as the new man by the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to sin and yes to righteousness. Because you who are baptized and believing are the true born-again Christians. And you were born not to wallow in sin, but to walk in a new life. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.